Take your Bible, if you will, tonight, and turn to the 126th, 126. I wonder which book of the Bible has 126 chapters. Yeah, there you go. Psalm 126, if you would. I really love this psalm. It's one of my favorites, and so I often come back to it. Of course, I read through the book of the Psalms every few months, but this caught my attention again. 126, got it? Okay. Let's read it together in unison. You ready? Let's begin. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. It's such a precious selection from this wonderful book of Psalms. And we do pray tonight that you'll make it live in our hearts. Speak the truth of it to each one of us. And Lord, tailor it in such a way that it would have a lasting impact upon us. So we call upon the Holy Spirit to do his anointed work in our lives tonight. And for the glory of Jesus, for his sake, we ask it. Amen. Now, if you read and think about or study the Psalms very much, you'll find that often what the psalmist does is he begins his psalm with a conclusion, with the end result of both what he learned and what he felt throughout the experience that he's writing about. This psalm is no different. It ends by showing us how to arrive at the specific good spiritual footing that the psalmist expresses here. Really, you could say that in Psalm 126, God's given us the formula for being spiritually successful. You'll note at the top the title, A Song of Degrees, and what that simply means is that this psalm was used by the Jewish pilgrims as they were making their way up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. As they made Aliyah, they would use this psalm. And as we read it together tonight, I think we understood that this psalm must pertain to some seminal moment for the Jews of Jerusalem. It is something to do with Jerusalem being hurt, and then how the city and its inhabitants found their way back to God and back to God's blessing. Well, with that in mind, I want to make application then to us here tonight, or to those that are viewing via the internet, either now or sometime after this service tonight. And that is this. Have you wandered away from the Lord? Have you had spiritual setbacks in your life? Have you had seasons in which fellowship with the Lord that you once enjoyed was broken? And you wondered, how can I get back to the place that I once was? Or perhaps I'm speaking to someone that you've never had a real relationship with the Lord. Whether you need a relationship with the Lord or whether you need to be restored in fellowship in your relationship with the Lord, this psalm is what you need to turn to, because it's all about a moment when you have a connection, an experience in which you really have a connection with God. Or how to have that. How does that happen? Well, I think in the first three verses, the first way in which to either establish a relationship with God or reconnect in fellowship with the Lord, if you feel like that fellowship isn't what it once was, is to do what the psalmist did. In the first three verses, you know what he did? He paused to reflect. He begins with an expression of a state of joy that the Jewish people experienced when they were restored from having been previously banished from or alienated from God. We don't know what exactly the experience of these people was. Many think it refers to the fact of the Jewish people being brought into exile, kicked out of Jerusalem, kicked out of the land, made captives. Don't know that for sure, but we do know that it involved a time when they felt alienated from God's presence. You feel that way tonight? Have you felt that way? Here is how this group of people were restored to that former state of blessing, experienced God's presence in their life, were brought back from the place of misfortune or disaster. You know, it really is disastrous when you don't know God, when you don't have a personal relationship with Him, or if you've been saved, when you're out of fellowship with Him, when you're out of sorts with God, when you are distant from Him, that's a disaster. Well, the way in which that gets remedied begins with pausing to reflect. Reflecting on the experience seemed to these people to even be surreal. Look at how it's expressed in that first verse. He says, when God restored us to fellowship with Himself, when the alienation was over, we were like them that dream. It was hard to believe all that happened was real. It seemed too good to be true that God brought us back into fellowship with Himself, that we were back in the center of God's blessing again. It was like a surreal experience. Someone said that if what the Bible says about God and our relationship with Him and how to come into relationship with Him seems too good to be true, the fact of the matter is, it's too good not to be true. It seemed like a dream. And then, as they paused to reflect upon it, notice verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. There's happiness. When you pause to reflect on a closeness with God, even though you don't have it at the moment, when you think back of God's love and God's mercy and God's goodness and God's blessing in your life, it brings happiness. He's talking about just a lighthearted joy, so that laughter just comes easy. It comes natural because your heart is light when you reflect upon that time with God. And then there's a third thing that comes out of this pausing to reflect. He says again in that third verse, or rather second verse, he said that the heathen that they lived among, the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then verse 3, God's people said, the Lord hath done great things for us. There's a testimony. when you pause to reflect, there's a testimony. And when God works and you think about it, it becomes very evident that what God has done is a God thing. Only God could make people happy like that. And only God could make things happen the way they do. Not only do God's people realize this is a God thing, but isn't it amazing? According to verse 3, even the nations around them were totally surprised and had to, with probably a grudging admiration, admit that none of their ancient gods could come even close to achieving the level of restoration that the God of Israel performs. And then God's people, according to verse 3, agreed with deep conviction and with this addition, whereof we are glad. They were gripped with great joy. Well, folks, this is how you can get back from being alienated and banished from fellowship with God. Pause to reflect upon that surreal and joyful time of fellowship with God, in which there was testimony as a result to the heathen, to the lost around you, as well in your own heart, that this is God and he's at work. There's a second thing I would have you note in verse 4. You want to get back in fellowship with the Lord, you pause to reflect, but in verse 4, what is he doing? Here is a plea for restoration. The psalmist pled for a total restoration, for ongoing blessing. He says, turn again our captivity. And that word turn again is make it complete. He's praying for a restoration of everything that went off the rails. Everything that got overturned, everything that got undone, all the things that hindered blessing. Lord, do a complete restoration. There is here a plea for that kind of ongoing blessing that's complete. Nothing's left out. He's praying for God to work a total change in their situation. You know, God really can restore any lost ground that we have lost as a result of our own stubbornness, as a result of our own carelessness and neglect. You know, God can do that. He doesn't have to, but God can restore all that is lost. He can give us a complete restoration. That's what they're pleading for in that fourth verse. Turn again. Give us a complete restoration of all our misfortune. I think it's the prophet Joel that says to Israel that if you will turn to the Lord, he will enable you to enjoy and will restore even what the locusts have eaten. Even what has been, have you ever had a sweater that you love? And you go to put it on after the summer, winter's come in, you put that sweater that you love on, you realize it's got big moth holes eaten in it. Ruined. You know what God can do in our relationship with him? When we allow the moths to eat our fellowship with the Lord, he can patch those holes up again. He can make that sweater new again. He can make our relationship, our fellowship with him, completely restored. That's what the Bible says. But notice this also, because he says again in that fourth verse, he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. This is a prayer for him to do something immediately. This is a prayer for him to do something suddenly. Now, let me explain that phrase as streams in the south or in the Negev. in the land of Israel, what happens is you have a dry season and you have a rainy season. And this is pictured in which the land is dry for like 10, 11 months out of the year. But then during that rainy season, the rain falls on the mountains, on the hills, and it runs down through the valleys, and it carves gorges in the ground below, in the valley below. Those gorges are called wadis in the Hebrew. And during the rainy season, 11 months out of the year, those wadis are dry as a bone. Not a drop or trickle of water is running down them. But in the rainy season, all of a sudden, those stream beds become torrents, and people often every year are killed because it is so sudden, it's so unexpected that it sweeps them away and they drown in it. What he's praying here then, he's praying for God to completely restore the lost fellowship, the alienation that they once had, to completely restore, to do it suddenly. God can bring a complete and he can bring a quick change to any situation if he wills to do it. I believe he wants to. I think if there's one thing you can always guarantee that God desires to do, and that is this: he wants you in fellowship with himself. He wants you in a personal relationship, and he wants you in intimate fellowship with himself. And the only hindrance to that is you and me, is ourselves. There's a third thing in verses 5 and 6 that I want to also emphasize. We're talking about how to be restored in our relationship and fellowship with the Lord. We pause to reflect. We plead for restoration. In verses 5 and 6, here's the phrase: we plant in reliance. We plant in reliance. What do I mean by that? Verse 5 says, they that sow or plant in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, planting, sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what these two verses are all about? It is an expression of hope that God will restore, that there will be on God's part a reversal of our situation, of our alienation, of our banishment from him. The psalm ends in these two verses with a cause for joy, and it instructs us how we can experience God's greatest blessing in our lives. Are you ready for it? Just two parts in verses 5 and 6. Number one, endure. When I talk about, when God talks about planting in reliance, he first of all is saying, endure. Sow in tears, weeping, bearing precious seed. That's talking about endurance. That means don't quit, regardless of the circumstances. It means move forward by depending upon God's strength in your life. It means to patiently continue moving forward toward God and with God. Sorrowful sowing, tearfully laying down a deliberate line of seeds during an apparent hopeless and trying time in your life. Endure. Don't give up. Don't quit. But the second part, not only endure, but expect. Serve God in faith. Yes, you're sowing in tears. Yes, you're bearing precious seed with weeping. But do it in faith. Serve God in faith. As you labor, as you serve God, depend upon God to fulfill the promise of his word regarding your circumstances. Be convinced that there is, regardless of what it looks like now, ahead there is an abundant harvest, and it's all based upon the promise of the Word of God. It's the kind of expectancy, it's the serving God in faith that probably is best pictured by our brothers and sisters in areas where they are suffering physical persecution because they love Jesus. Persecuted believers that continue to sow the gospel, to plant that spiritual seed line. They lay a spiritual trail of tears as they sow, knowing that one day they're going to reap a joyful harvest. I mean, when you read the testimony of the Voice of the Martyrs in their little magazine or hear it on the radio program on Sunday mornings here in the area, you realize these people, they are sowing in tears. These people are suffering. They've lost family members. Wives have lost their husbands. Husbands have lost their families. And yet they're still sowing the gospel seed because they believe it will end in a very fruitful harvest. One day they're going to reap that joyful harvest. I don't know if you're familiar with Jeremiah chapter 37, but it's very interesting to me because Jeremiah in chapter 37 is met by his cousin who says to him, Jeremiah, he was imprisoned in Judea because of his preaching. The king didn't like his message. But anyway, his cousin comes to him, and the Babylonian captivity had already taken place. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And his cousin comes to him, and all the Jews have been taken exile, have been exiled out of the land except for the poor, few that remain. His cousin comes and says, "Hey, Jeremiah, God wants you to buy the family plot, the family land." What? What good is that now? It's occupied by a foreign enemy. Let me ask you something. Even if you had the money, would you invest in land that's been invaded and seized by a foreign enemy? Well, you know what? Jeremiah did. You know why he did? Because Jeremiah believed the promise of God's word that Israel would one day return and that they would reoccupy that land. And so he made that purchase by faith. That's what it means to sow in tears. That's what it means to go forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. It means to expect to serve God in faith. When we're willing to ask God to do whatever it takes to bring spiritual renewal and spiritual restoration in our own lives and in the lives of others that we care about, then when difficulties arise, we can take heart because it reveals, you know what? God's on the move. God's at work answering the prayer to do whatever it takes to make this happen. In the worst circumstances, oh, God's doing this. God's allowing this because he's answering my prayer to do whatever it takes to bring about this renewal. I referred to an incident a couple of weeks ago when the Buffalo Bills safety, Hamlin, suffered a heart attack on the field. Joshua Allen, who is the Buffalo Bill quarterback, here's what he said. He said recently that Hamlin's injury and recovery has sparked a spiritual awakening in him, and it has impacted the entire team. That's what he said. Well, the Buffalo Bills coach, Sean McDermott, has long been an outspoken follower of the Lord, and he continued to exhibit his faith in the aftermath of his player's cardiac arrest. In a press conference last week, McDermott said this, and I quote, "I'm a Christian man to begin with, and I'm not afraid to say that," adding, "Glory to God for his keeping DeMar and his family in the palm of his hand over the last couple of days and for his healing power." hey, whatever it takes for God to wake up a team, a quarterback, the NFL, our country, our city. If it takes a cardiac arrest, or worse. You see, Psalm 126 is a psalm of faith, just like they all are. You serve the Lord in faith, that regardless of how bad it looks, that's probably indication that God's really at work, especially if you've prayed, God, I want you to do this no matter what it takes, no matter how bad it gets. So praise the Lord. They that sow in tears one day will reap in joy.